This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacists, The Flip Side of Feminism, Turbo Reader, and the revealing new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
I've told you in previous broadcasts about some of the zero-tolerance nonsense that has caused punishment for mostly boys in elementary school for actions that should not have been punished. But now one school has carried this zero-tolerance so far that it isn't even safe to talk about guns. The father of a middle schooler in Calvary County, Maryland, says his 11-year-old son was suspended for 10 days for merely talking about guns on the bus ride home after school. This sixth grader at Northern Middle School was talking with friends about the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre when the bus driver hauled him back to school to be questioned by the principal. The father said in an interview that the principal told him that with what happened at Sandy Hook, if you say the word gun in my school, you are going to get suspended for 10 days. So what did the boy say? According to the father, the boy neither threatened nor bullied anyone. He said, "I wish I had a gun to protect everyone." He wanted to defeat the bad guys. The boy was questioned by the principal and a sheriff's deputy, who also wanted to search the family's home without a warrant. He started asking the father if he had firearms. The principal did not respond to calls or emails seeking comment. The boy's suspension was later reduced to 1 day. Another incident in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, is zero tolerance that leaves you not knowing whether to laugh or cry. A 7-year-old boy was suspended for 2 days for biting a pastry into the shape of a gun. His family had to hire an attorney to expunge the suspension from the boy's school record. In this case, the NRA got into the act by presenting the kid with a lifetime membership in the National Rifle Association.
Surveys show liberal professors outnumber conservative professors on college campuses by 10 to 1. At the Eagle Forum Collegian Summit in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19, outstanding conservative leaders will equip students with moral and intellectual defenses to challenge left-wing ideology. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially.
Here we go. Dr. Colin Ross joins us on the Bob Tustin Show. Dr. Ross is an internationally renowned clinician, researcher, author, and lecturer in the field of disassociation and trauma-related disorders. He is the founder and president of the Colin A. Ross Institute for Psychological Trauma. Dr. Ross obtained his MD from the University of Alberta in 1981 and completed his training in psychiatry at the University of Manitoba in 1985. He's been running a hospital-based trauma program in Dallas, Texas since 1991. Dr. Ross's book, The Trauma Model, A Solution to the Problem of Comorbidity, say that word five times fast, in psychiatry, was published in 2000, if I can read here, with a second edition appearing in 2007. Other recent books of his include Trauma Model Therapy, A Treatment Approach for Trauma, Disassociation, and Complex Comorbidity, The CIA Doctors, Human Rights Violations by American Psychiatrists, and Moon Shadows, Stories of Trauma and Recovery, published in 2007. In addition, Dr. Ross has authored over 170 professional papers. He is adept at imparting complex information to diverse professional audiences on a variety of subjects, including, and this is some of the meat of what we're going to get into tonight, the psychobiology of disassociation, treatment outcome of dissociative identity disorder, formerly known as multiple personalities, psychotherapy of complex comorbid trauma cases, a science of human energy fields, the dissociative structural model of the psyche, the CIA and military mind control research, long-term effects of child abuse, the trauma model of borderline personality disorder, childhood trauma and eating disorders, vitamin D and hormones in health and diseases, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm very honored to have Dr. Colin Ross. Colin, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So there's a lot to get into, but first I want to mention that I first came across your work when I had the opportunity to speak with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, and they said, you got to talk to Dr. Colin Ross. He knows his stuff about this, and he's helped greatly. So I don't want to just focus on the trauma. I want to focus on how we can deal with this trauma in a healthy way that does not include medication, because we know that the medication, for the most part, only makes things worse. Being that you studied psychiatry, is that the way you would refer to it? Psychiatry? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Being that you studied that, how do you get beyond the paradigm of medicine? And it's not medicine, so I hate to call that, but how do you get beyond the paradigm of SSRIs and dangerous substances like that?
Well, the way I did it was basically studying the science and studying the data, studying the literature, and then also talking to lots and lots and lots of people who are patients. And so I didn't go into medical school because I was against medicine. I didn't go into medical school because I was against medication. So if somebody has, you know, an ear infection, I'm okay with giving them an antibiotic sort of thing. And I didn't go into psychiatry with any kind of attitude against medications. It really all comes from my experience, clinical experience, and from reading and studying the literature. So basically, like everybody else in psychiatry, I was taught that these medications are, you know, fantastic and wonderful. They've emptied the mental hospitals. They're very effective, and they have kind of minimal side effects. Back in the 80s, when I was a resident, the antidepressants had more obvious side effects. But when the SSRIs came out, the idea was, well, now we've really reduced the side effects to very minimal. And so there's a big gap between the price you pay to be on these drugs and the benefit you get. That's what I was taught. And, you know, originally I kind of bought that because why would I think that the whole thing is bogus? And it was really the science and the data and my clinical experience. So there's now a number of what's called meta-analyses. So if you do one drug study, in a typical antidepressant drug study that's funded by a drug company, which they have to do in order to try and get approval from the FDA, there's going to be 200 or 300 people in the study, and there's going to be 10, 15 different, maybe 20 academic centers involved in recruiting these people and running through the protocol. And the protocol's very rigidly defined by the FDA. So if it's an antidepressant, they have to be clinically depressed, they have to score a certain amount on a scale of depression, and they can't have serious medical problems, other serious mental health problems. So there's a number of things they have to have, and there's a number of things that get them kicked out of the trial. So that'd be one drug study that gets published in a paper. And then a meta-analysis is when you gather up dozens and dozens and dozens of these studies. And there's several of these different meta-analyses that have been published in the last, say, 5 years. And they consistently show over and over and over and over that the gap between an antidepressant, SSRI antidepressant, and placebo is at most very small. So that's just, those are the scientific facts.
That's very telling.
And then there's several things you have to know on top of that. The first thing is there's what's called the file drawer effect. It's also called publication bias. And so there's papers in mainstream psychiatry journals. All of this information is in mainstream psychiatry journals. And what happens, of course, is if you do 30 studies of an antidepressant, the ones where there is a difference between the antidepressant and the placebo, the majority of them get published. The studies where there isn't a difference between antidepressant and placebo, the majority of them don't get published.
Selective. And,
yeah, so when you people have done Freedom of Information Act requests with the drug companies and worked very hard to get all of the unpublished studies, when you add back in all the unpublished studies, then the gap between antidepressants and placebo is basically zero for mild and moderate depression. And maybe for severe depression, it's around about 2 on a scale called the Hamilton Depression Scale. So on that scale, you can score from 0, which is zero depression, to 51. And the difference between the antidepressant and the placebo is a little under 2 on this scale that goes from 0 to 51. So it's the tiniest little difference, and you've got to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in order for there to be a statistical difference between the drug and the placebo. So that's, and that's also true of all the other types of psychiatric drugs. They're really not much better than placebo maximum.
Do they make things worse in the long term?
Yeah, well, again, we just have to go to the psychiatry literature and see what it says, and we have to go to the FDA and see what the FDA says. So for the SSRI antidepressants, which is Prozac and Paxil and Zoloft and those kind, there's what's called a black box warning, which is mandated by the FDA. And so on the packaging, there's a a black square, and inside is the warning, which is, and this is based on analyzing all these different studies that have been done. The warning says that if you're up to age 24, you're going to be at risk for developing suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation, agitation, restlessness, delirium, because of the antidepressant. And what the data actually show is that if you come into a study and you're already depressed, which you have to be to get into the study, but you're not allowed into the study if you're actually suicidal already. So I can pick it up after the break if you want.
Let's do so. Dr. Colin Ross is our guest tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show, and we will pick it up in just a second.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
So we're talking about medications that psychiatry are doping people up with, not really dealing with the trauma, not really dealing with the underlying problems, just masking them and complicating the issues further. And you were talking about some of the data, Dr. Ross. Why don't you pick it up with that?
Okay. So the official position, so this is not just my personal opinion. This is published in American Journal of Psychiatry. It's the official position of the FDA. If you're currently depressed, you're not allowed into these drug studies if you're suicidal at the time of coming into the study. So they exclude all those people. So if you come into a drug study, you're clinically depressed, which basically just means really, really depressed, and you're given a SSRI or a placebo, the odds of getting suicidal are higher if you're on the antidepressant than if you're on the placebo. This is the official position of the government of the United States. It's not just a, you know, personal opinion. And so this is a known fact. And if you look at the published data on the side effects that people experience on antidepressants, there are a lot of side effects, including a lot of sexual side effects. So these drugs really are at most a tiny little bit better than placebo. And they have not just a few little minor side effects here and there. They've got serious side effects. And potentially the most serious side effect is becoming homicidal and becoming a mass shooter.
And we've seen a lot of that certainly over the past few years.
Right. And so, of course, most psychiatrists are going to say if somebody is on an antidepressant or an antipsychotic and they become a mass shooter, that's the illness, not the medication. But the FDA says that these medications can cause suicidal and homicidal ideation. And so from a public health point of view, from a scientific medical point of view, it's totally reasonable and rational to say, I wonder if some of these mass shootings, a big factor is the toxic reaction to the medication. This is not just a, you know, fringe sort of flaky idea. This is absolutely medically public health realistic thing to wonder about, and obviously we should be taking it seriously and investigating it.
Agreed.
What are the odds that the mainstream media is going to investigate it when they're making millions and millions and millions off direct-to-consumer psychiatric drug ads? Not very good.
There's a conflict of interest, you think?
Yeah. My opinion is that direct-to-consumer psych med advertising should just be banned. It shouldn't be allowed.
You know, I could go for that. Being that you are who you are now and you've seen through a lot of the lies and the propaganda from the pharmaceutical industrial complex on the subject matter, do you still have reps? You know, usually they're a pretty gal in a short skirt or something, not to be derogatory here, but do they still approach you?
No, I don't see drug reps, so it's a non-issue for me.
Oh, good. So they don't even bother with you.
I used to in Canada. I moved from Canada to Dallas in 1991. When I was in Canada, I was a medical school based psychiatrist, and I did contract drug studies for drug companies. So I was actually inside the machine, so to speak, and they pay very well. So I was able to fund a lot of other research from the profits from the drug studies, and I got. For one drug, Buspar or Buspirone, which I published a study on, I was based in Winnipeg, so I got trips to Calgary, Ottawa, Toronto, Houston, Dusseldorf, and Florence off that one drug.
Nice.
All paid for by the drug company. Yeah, so I mean, they really, you know, reinforce you financially big time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a field where everybody's saying this is good work and the drugs are good. But in this study I did with, it was Valium versus Buspar versus placebo for anxiety, which I published in the Canadian Journal of Psychiatry, there was no difference between the Buspar, the Valium, or the placebo.
They didn't like that.
Well, it's one of the ones that did get published. And, no, I didn't get kind of like banned by the drug companies as a result. It's just, I mean, they basically know that that's the way it goes.
But, you know, so, I don't think they care. I think they count on the fact that there's an uninformed public and, more importantly, an uninformed professional market out there of psychiatrists.
Right. And I have all kinds of criticisms to make of drug companies, but mostly all my criticism is focused on the psychiatrists. The psychiatrists are, in current psychiatry, biological psychiatry dominates, which is the kind of genes, brain chemicals, take a pill model of psychiatry, basically. And they claim to be what's called evidence-based. So evidence-based is the buzzword, that what you do is based on actual studies. You're scientific, not like those kind of flaky therapists who do all kinds of stuff. That's the attitude. But actually, in fact, what dominates psychiatry today is an anti-scientific pose. They take the pose of being scientific and medication and interested in brains and all that stuff. But actually, what they say, which is these drugs are very effective and have minimal side effects, is disproven by the science that's in the psychiatry journals.
Right.
And the same is true for the genetic basis of mental illness. It's way overblown and overemphasized compared to what the data say.
I mean, the genetic influence on many things, not just mental illness, is overblown.
Right.
We see environmental factors oftentimes to blame.
Right.
And from what I understand of psychiatry, it's a shot in the dark. They claim that there's a chemical imbalance, right? We hear that. That's kind of the mantra of psychiatry,
mm-hmm.
chemical imbalance. And they have no real way of measuring and calculating exactly what imbalance is there. So they say, let's try this and see
that's
if this
true.
Works.
That's true and not true. I mean, bottom line is it's true, but let me explain it a little bit.
Okay,
so
please do.
The typical thing is in depression, you have low serotonin, or maybe low noradrenaline, but serotonin's kind of captured the market. If you're psychotic, you've got too much dopamine. That's the standard deal. So, okay, what's the science backing up the idea that there's low serotonin in depression? And it's really what I was saying. What we have in the literature is many, 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 many studies consistently being published all the way back into the 80s, consistently failing to find any low serotonin. So we actually have many, 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 many studies demonstrating over and over and over and over that there is no consistent low serotonin in depression. So we actually know for a scientific fact that if you just measure the serotonin level in your cerebrospinal fluid, which is the fluid that bathes your brain, you got to do a spinal tap, a lumbar puncture to measure that. We actually know for a scientific fact that the serotonin levels in depressed people aren't any different from regular people. So we've actually disproven the low serotonin model, but we keep saying it and saying it over and over and over and over and over.
If they repeat it often enough, it becomes a dogma, right?
Right.
So we're going to take another quick break, Dr. Ross, and when we do come back, I want to shift gears a little bit from psychiatry, although I think this is fascinating and very important. I want to talk about trauma. I want to talk about your research on specifically the CIA and military mind control programs and how they have utilized trauma. And I also want to eventually get into solutions, how we heal from the trauma that is so prevalent in our world today.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plaques, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have a special treat tonight. Dr. Colin Ross is our guest. He is the founder of the Colin A. Ross Institute for Psychological Trauma. And there's a lot of aspects to this that we will only be scratching the surface for tonight. So check out his books and his publications at the website Ross Institute. It's Ross, I-N-S-T, as an institute, rossinst.com. And Dr. Ross, perhaps it would be good to start off with kind of a trauma 101. There's varying degrees of trauma, and we've all faced it in some capacity, I think it's safe to say. Give us a little bit about how you started to focus in on trauma and its effect on the psyche.
Okay. Well, I was in medical school from 81 to 85. And then I was in my psychiatry training from medical school from 77 to 81, psychiatry from 81 to 85, so that's a total of 8 years. In that total of 8 years, I had no exam questions on childhood sexual abuse, no exam questions on childhood physical abuse, domestic violence, rape, and my main textbook, which was the 1980 edition of the Comprehensive Textbook of Psychiatry, had just a few pages way at the back about incest, with one paragraph talking about how common incest is, with a reference to a 1955 study saying it's one family out of a million in the United States. It's actually more than one out of 100. So it was total institutional, professional denial of childhood physical abuse, sexual abuse, family violence, you know, all the main forms of severe trauma that go on in North America. It's like it just didn't exist. You didn't talk about it. So that's the, you know, the teaching climate I came out of. So like anything else, trauma can be either more severe or less severe. So if somebody's, you know, physically molested, including, you know, oral sex, anal sex, vaginal sex, from age 4 to 14 by dad, uncle, and a brother, everybody's going to agree that's trauma. But when you scale it down, 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 at some point you're going to get to, well, that's just kind of the stress of everyday life. So you could say that stress is mild trauma, trauma is severe stress, if you wanted. And we all, obviously, all experience some degree of loss, stress, mild trauma. Nobody gets away with zero. But the people that I work with have huge, varying combinations of physical abuse, sexual abuse, family violence, verbal abuse, loss of the caretakers through death or divorce or imprisonment or substance abuse, all kinds of betrayals within the family, all kinds of strange mind games and strange ways of interacting, impossible perfectionistic standards from the parents, always a disappointment of the parents. So there's many different sort of elements and forms of it. And we all experience that like a little bit because no parent is perfect. So the biggest, the best study that illustrates how all this works is called the ACE study, A-C-E. It's the Adverse Childhood Experiences. And there's been dozens and dozens of papers in the literature from this study. And it was conducted in San Diego on a Kaiser Permanente sample of 17,000 regular middle-class people. It wasn't a psychiatric sample. And they've got a questionnaire they did in this study, which has got 10 items in it. There's 3 abuse, 3 neglect, and then 6 kind of general family trauma type questions. And if you were sexually abused as a child, you get 1 for the category of sexual abuse. If you had somebody in your home who is a very heavily addicted alcoholic or substance abuser, you get 1 for that. So you can score 0 to 10. And then they've got all of this Kaiser Permanente data, and they've followed all these people up systematically for years. And so if you compare people who have 0 on the ACE scale to people who score 4 or more, have 4 or more different types of childhood trauma, there's huge increases in an amazing array of different things. So not surprisingly, there's more depression, there's more hallucinations, there's more substance abuse problems. That's not too surprising. Also, your odds of smoking go up like multiple times. Cardiovascular disease, HIV positive, lung disease, cancer. There's a whole host of medical problems and psychological problems and addictions that go up, 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 up with your ACE score. So, for instance, if you have a score of 6 on this ACE scale, 6 out of 10, compared to somebody with a score of 0, your odds of IV drug abuse are 4,600 times greater. I mean, this huge, huge increase in the risk.
Wow.
And so, I mean, we know for, you know, well-established fact that all these different forms of trauma, abuse, neglect are affecting all kinds of ability to function professionally, ability to function in the workplace, ability to function in relationships, how you relate to yourself, how you relate to others, your physical health and your mental health. There's just no question about it. And so my personal opinion based on all of this is the number one thing we need to do in medicine in general, not just psychiatry, the number one thing we need to do in public health is really, really start focusing on all this childhood trauma, all the fallout from it. And from a more kind of business perspective, the massive financial cost, let alone the human cost. But that's not exactly the majority opinion in medicine these days.
No, it certainly isn't. I'm curious, and I've learned a little bit about this, and I have kind of a layman's understanding of it, but what actually physically happens to the brain, especially at that young age when you endure intense trauma like sexual abuse, so on and so forth? From everything that I've looked at, it creates a schism, and that's when we see the multi-personality disorder, which is now known as the dissociative identity disorder that comes up, right?
Right. Right. Well, everything you said is true. So this area is so underfunded compared to studying genes to death. And the official position of the National Institute of Mental Health and of the DSM-5, which just came out in May, is that there's, for schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, autism, depression, there's several hundred genes that are involved at a minimum. It's the same set of genes for all these different disorders. So there's not a separate set of genes for schizophrenia compared to bipolar, compared to autism, compared to depression. And each one of these hundreds of genes is contributing at most 1% to 2% of the total picture. So this is, again, not my personal opinion. This is the official position of the National Institute of Mental Health and the American Psychiatric Association. So this whole genetic approach, if you think that there's hundreds of genes involved in, say, schizophrenia, and each of them is contributing 1% or 2%, then that means that out of the 200 genes, there's some are not active in this particular individual. But you're talking about at least 50 to 100 genes if they're each contributing 1% or 2%. And so if you wanted to find out how all this works, you'd have to identify this 200 genes. Then you'd have to figure out which 100 or so are abnormal in this individual. Then you'd have to go inside this person's cells. You'd have to identify what protein each one of these genes codes for. You'd have to measure the level of each one of these proteins inside the cells of this individual. And then after you've gone to all that, then you'd have to develop some sort of genetic or pharmacological way of targeting that abnormal protein, which means you'd have to be prescribing 50 to 100 different medications that each is going to knock down the schizophrenia by 1% or 2%. It's totally absurd. It's completely scientifically impossible. It'll never happen, but that's where all the money goes. But we have all this other body of data showing that all that money would be much better spent looking at trauma and what trauma does. So there's a tiny little amount of research in the trauma side of things. And there's a guy at Harvard, Martin Teicher, T-E-I-C-H-E-R. He's done some really interesting work looking at sexual abuse of children at different ages. And it seems like depending what age the sexual abuse occurs at, it primarily affects this part of the brain or that part of the brain or that part of the brain. And probably the most studied part is the hippocampus, which I can tell you about after the break.
We're going to have to learn about the hippocampus on the other side here, folks, and then we still got to get into mind control, MK Ultra, and all that sexy stuff.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
Well, Dr. Colin Ross really is a wealth of information. I'm learning a tremendous amount about a topic that I've been very interested in for many years now. And we were discussing the hippocampus, which is in the medial temporal lobe of the brain. Let's pick it up right from there.
Yeah, it's part of what's called the limbic system, which handles emotion. And the hippocampus has a lot to do with memory. So it's deep inside your brain. And so when I went to medical school, and really up until 1990-ish or so, it was absolutely known for scientific fact that if you lose a neuron or severely damage a neuron in your brain, it's game over. You can't fix it. You can't repair it. You can't replace it. Everybody knew that. But now, of course, it turns out that wasn't scientifically true at all. And there's this whole area called neuroplasticity. So there's lots of evidence now, and nobody debates it anymore, that actually the brain in general can repair and replace neurons, and the hippocampus is particularly good at that. And this guy, Robert Sapolsky, who's at Stanford, did the early research in the 90s showing, now we're doing human studies, but we're also doing animal studies. So you got a genetically, you know, inbred strain of mice. You have the experimental group and the control group. So the control group gets like a normal childhood, nothing out of the ordinary. The experimental group has got all this stress, inconsistent parenting, being taken away from mom, erratic feeding. So it's a traumatized stress group of mice. Then you let them grow up, and then you say thank you, and you kill them, and you look at their brains. And when you see these slides at a conference, the control mouse that's had a normal childhood, the hippocampus is just, it's like looking at moss in a forest. It's just this rich connections, neurons talking to each other, connecting to each other. The space is all filled in. When you look at the slide of the hippocampus of the mouse that's had a really abusive traumatic childhood, you can just see the empty space and the damaged neurons. So we now know for a fact, in animals, several different types of animals, that stress increases the amount of cortisol that your adrenal glands that sit on your kidneys secrete, because it's a stress response hormone. The cortisol circulates around your blood, and it affects the cells in your brain, especially in the hippocampus, and it affects what is allowed into the cell. So toxic things that normally are kept out of the cell are allowed to flow in when there's high cortisol. And so the things that flow in damage the cells. So the research is now looking at the actual biochemical details of how this works. And there's transmitters like glutamate that are probably involved. So it's not just the cortisol. But we know for an established fact now that if you traumatize a young mammal, it'll result in damage to the hippocampus. But what we also know now is that the brain is much more capable of repairing itself than we thought. So the coolest idea, which is just a research hypothesis, it's not proven at all yet, is if you have somebody with really severe post-traumatic stress disorder who's had damage to their hippocampus, and you can measure that with a brain scan, and then you treat them with psychotherapy, and they really go into it and work hard and make a really serious recovery, maybe you'll be able to measure the hippocampus coming back to a normal size. So that's just an example of, you know, what we're on the edge of. We're just starting to get into how this all works in terms of the biology of it, the chemistry of it, how it affects your brain, and what your brain can do to recover, and what helps your brain to recover, which is going to include all kinds of different practices, potentially psychotherapy, meditation, yoga, supplements.
Interesting. I want to talk about, since we're talking about the brain, I want to talk about the frontal lobe for a moment.
That's like the thinking part of the brain.
The thinking part of the brain, right. And how does that play into all this? What's the effect on the frontal lobe with trauma?
Well, all of this is, you know, early on in the research, so it's, a lot of it's not really nailed down totally. But
right.
What do we see clinically, when we have people who are very, very traumatized, what we see is they can't regulate their emotions very well. Either they're totally numbed out and shut down, or they're totally flooded, overwhelmed. So the ability of the frontal cortex and the thinking part of the brain, conscious part of the brain, to kind of modulate things and say, okay, we'll put this on the back burner now, or okay, I'm going to think about this and bring this feeling up. That kind of flexible, fluid brain just isn't there anymore. And you've got this kind of rigid, disconnected system where the cortex can't talk to the amygdala and the hippocampus and the emotional part of the brain and tell it, okay, time to calm down, or okay, time to gear up. It just is totally shut down, or it suddenly violently intrudes. And so that's what we see clinically. So what do we expect to see when we study this, and what are we seeing in what's called functional MRI and related things, which is where you're not looking at the structure of the brain now, you're looking at how it functions, kind of in real time. We expect to see that the communication links between the frontal cortex and the limbic system aren't working very well. So we expect to see either a disconnection or too much cortical activity, which is shutting down the emotional part of the brain, or we expect to see overactivity of the emotional brain that's flooding into the cortex, you know, depending on what's going on clinically. And the people who do this kind of research are starting to get into this and try and sort it all out. But I can basically already guarantee you that the findings are going to be like I described.
Right.
That people get disconnected from themselves, and they have way over revved up emotions, and they get very easily triggered and have overreactions to the reality of the present, which are out of proportion to the reality of the present, but are actually not overreactions to the reality of the past. It's like I always tell the story of the Vietnam vet, which is just a made-up story. So he's 30 years later, he's back in his backyard, he's barbecuing, everything's fine, totally calm. A news helicopter goes overhead. All of a sudden, this huge flashback, he's back in Vietnam, he's hearing it, he's seeing it, he's smelling it, he dives under the hedge, and his family's got to, you know, calm him down and shake him and explain that he's okay and everything's all right. So that's a huge overreaction to a news helicopter going overhead. But it's not an overreaction to combat situation in Vietnam.
Right.
So the old unresolved feelings that are stored in the emotional part of the brain and the imagery and the pictures and the smells and the feelings, when there's a trigger, all of a sudden the lid comes off and they come flooding up into the cortex part of the brain, and then the cortex just gets overwhelmed and shut down. So, I mean, we basically know that this is what's going on in the brain. We're just getting into the brain scan proof of it now.
Fascinating. Yeah, so this is all connected, of course, to the reactions people have, both short-term and long-term from trauma. And this is something that I have to imagine the government has an interest in, both because they have many soldiers coming back with PTSD and because it serves other purposes. And that's a tease there, Colin, to something I want to get into next hour, because I think probably the people listening to this show right now are most fascinated with the aspect of your work dealing with the CIA and MKUltra and all that not-so-fun stuff.
Right. Yeah, I've done a lot of research on that, and 15,000 pages of documents that I've basically looked at pretty much every page.
Not many, only 15,000. Much of the documents are out there, folks. You just got to look for them.
Yeah, you can order them all from the CIA through the Freedom of Information Act. It's not that difficult. You just go to CIA.gov and, you know, look around for the Freedom of Information Act tab, and it walks you through the process.
Interesting. Well, we'll get to that. And ultimately, I'd like to end with some solutions, how we heal from this trauma, which means you're implementing at the Colin Ross Institute, so on and so forth. And I'd like to open up the phone lines as well towards the last portion of our show so that people call up with any questions they have for you or any feedback that they want to get from you. So there's a lot to get to. They can find you at your website, rossinstitute.com, it's abbreviated rossinst, that's rossinst. .com. They can find your books there as well. There's a tab that says bookstore on the side there. You can find much of what he has written at the bookstore at the Colin Ross Institute. And I'm very glad to have him on the show with us tonight. We have a lot to get to. Like I said, we're only scratching the surface, and you'll have to read the books. Ultimately, those will be the real work that you have to look at if you want to get more in depth in these topics than we have the ability to do so on the radio show here. Stand by, we'll be back in just moments with Dr. Colin.